All right, beautiful Friday morning, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock. I feel like our next guest could probably stay with us till 10 o'clock or beyond, and we'd still have lots to cover because Joe Urban is an expert in education law. He's with the Clark Hill firm in Birmingham, and he's been looking very closely at Governor Whitmer's Executive Order 2020-142, which is about reopening school, and very pleased to have Joe on the line with us this morning. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Paul. You know, you're absolutely right. I could probably spend days talking with you about this.
And at the end of that long conversation, we still wouldn't have a solution to this problem, would we?
We wouldn't have a solution. We wouldn't have closure. Things are all over the map, unfortunately, for parents. And I'm one as well, so I'm monitoring this not only as an expert and a lawyer, but also as a parent.
Yeah. What are some of the key points in this executive order?
Yeah, the key points, I think the biggest takeaway from the executive order is that what we have is the state broken down into four phases of being able to provide instruction, from complete online instruction, which I know you're going to talk about later today, to complete face-to-face in-person instruction. And in order to move through those phases, the governor will designate which phase the region of the state is in. There are different things that are required. You know, masks are, for example, always required. And always going to be with us. Cleaning is always going to be required and always going to be with us. And then there's going to be some procedures that are going to get rolled in or rolled out depending on what phase we're in.
Yeah, I want to bring up cleaning because you mentioned it, and cleaning is something that we usually think, well, that's the custodial staff. They come in, you know, after school and in the evening and they clean the building. But in a school where students move from class to class, teachers are going to have to really disinfect the classroom every 45 minutes, aren't they?
Yeah, and that's a really good point. Everybody is, and local districts are going to make different determinations about how they conduct those cleanings. But everybody is in a changing role. The basic and most fundamental role for teachers that we really want them to focus on is delivering high-quality instruction to their kids. But unfortunately, because of this, you know, we've got additional folks that have to, or additional procedures that have to be put into place. Even monitoring for mask wearing are things that we're going to be asking, you know, our staff and our teachers to take up. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Those roles are going to end up changing for safety purposes. Hopefully, though, because the cleaning and the in-person instruction for schools is in the later phases of the reopening, that cleaning will be in a situation where we've got the virus more under control than it is currently.
Joe, you're an attorney, so as you look at the executive order, there are some words that I'm sure jump out at you, like required, strongly recommended, and recommended. There's a difference between those three things, isn't there?
There is. There's a fundamental set of required things that schools are, you know, are non-negotiable for schools, right? I mean, the masking, that is non-negotiable. Interestingly enough, if they assume that everybody is masked, the social distancing, the 6-foot social distancing, becomes strongly recommended, and I'll come back to that in a second. But if, you know, special education access, very much required. If a school provides in-person instruction, we have to provide that instruction to kids with disabilities. If we're out of instruction or out of school and we're doing instruction virtually, we still have to do our very, very best to include those kids in our special education plans. These are, you know, things that become absolutely required for school districts. And interestingly enough, PPE, other PPE besides just masks, highly, you know, required, not just highly recommended. Sanitation required. The highly recommended things, though, that are out there, like the social distancing if everybody is masked, you still have to say why you're not include, or you still have to say that you're not including those in your plan when you put your plan together. So let me back up for just one second, if I could, Paul. All of this has to be reduced into a plan that's going to be on the school district's website and available to parents to look at by August 17th. And so When those plans are posted, parents will see what's required, what's going to, you know, what all the highly recommended things are in there. But also, if they look at the roadmap and the order, they'll be able to see what highly recommended things are not in the plan. And then they'll be able to ask questions if they want to, in order to get their heads around, you know, the choices that the local district has made. And many times those choices are, they're not made to infect kids, believe me, or to get by. Every school administrator I have talked to has rolled up their sleeves and worked very, very hard on what these plans are going to look like.
Joe, what do you think about extracurricular activities? Are we going to see robotics club and debate team and all the other stuff that we see kids so active in after school? I mean, forget about sports. I mean, that's one thing. But all those other extracurricular activities, do those go away?
I don't think so. I think it's going to depend on the phase that you're in. I think if we're completely virtual, we're going to have to adapt what those extracurriculars are going to look like. I'll give you two examples, right? Let's look at choir and marching band as one kind of class of extracurriculars. And then let's look at, for example, you know, Model UN, you know, or the physics club, you know, on the other kind of side of it for extracurriculars. Both sets that kids find fulfilling and enrich their educational experiences. I think you'll find that the Model UN kids, the physics club, the chess club, all of that can be adapted to Zoom. And boy, I bet we're all tired of Zoom by now, right? but the in-person things like choir, if we can't adapt that to an online platform, and there's all sorts of reasons why, you know, it may not necessarily be as fulfilling. I'll leave the pedagogy to the teachers. Those things, if they can't be adapted to online, look at the transmission rate or the science behind, you know, people singing. That's one of the prohibited things right now, is gatherings where lots of people are singing, or marching band where people are going to be in close contact. If we can't do that in a socially distanced fashion until in-person instruction returns, I think we're going to find that those are going to be significantly curtailed. That's how I see this unfolding.
Are parents and teachers, obviously very different circumstances, but will both sets have the opportunity to opt out if they say, you know what, this is too much, I can't go back in the classroom to teach, or I can't send my kids to the classroom? Are they going to have the option of distance learning again?
Yeah, let's talk about parents first, and then I'll get to teachers, because parents are kind of the easier part. Parents certainly have a multitude of educational choices in Michigan. You know, the schools will provide, most school districts that we're working with are providing, still going to provide a component of online instruction if parents feel that it's just too risky to send their kids to school. And so the kids will be able to access online instruction either generally at their K-12, or through one of the other platforms that's available out there for online instruction. Teachers are a different perspective on this. One, we all are. I'm going to put this right out there for your listeners so that they can kind of think about it a little bit. We all are full of anxiety, aren't we? I mean, you know,
absolutely.
If I forget my mask at the grocery store, I go back to my car and I get it. That means I'm concerned about transmitting to other people, right? We don't know what's happening next. The CDC just this morning issued back to school guidelines that, you know, conflict somewhat with the order 142, which we'll sort through. So we're all full of anxiety over this stuff, and teachers, as frontline workers, are full of anxiety over this stuff as well. And I think the school administrators are they get that. Teachers, if they're going to be looking at saying, hey, if we return to face-to-face instruction, and teachers are going to be asked to go back into the classroom, teachers are going to be looking at a very, very different environment, right? I mean, just the cleaning that you mentioned. There will still be opportunities for those teachers who have disabilities under the Americans with Disabilities Act, immunocompromised. Let's not leave off the table teachers that potentially have, you know, an anxiety issue that they're dealing with. These are all recognized disabilities under the ADA, and they'll be able to engage in what's called an interactive process with their school to ensure that if they can't actually be in the classroom for reasons that are medical, that they will find an accommodation if it's possible. And schools work really hard. Even non-COVID schools work really hard on the ADA, and nothing has changed about COVID regarding how hard schools will work. And on top of it, schools I know are in dialogue, sometimes in a bargaining posture and sometimes in an informal posture with their teachers' units to make sure that concerns about PPE, passing time, cleaning, all of those things can be resolved in a way that everybody can visualize and get along with.
I want to go back to something that you mentioned, August 17th being an important date, that that's when districts have to have their plan on their website. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, that's exactly it. The districts will have to have their plans posted, and I would urge parents and stakeholders in the community, you know, to access those plans. There is a set of plan templates that have been put together by the thinking organizations that do thought leadership for school districts. I think the Michigan Association of ISD Administrators put out a very nice template. So there's going to be a fair amount of homogeneity in what those plans look like, but there will be local variations. So parents really should look at those school websites and look for those plans. The hard date to have them posted is August 17th. And there will be board meetings where those plans are adopted as well.
Yeah. All right. So parents, pay attention to what's going on in your district, because your district is going to be unique. It's not necessarily going to be like other districts. There's no statewide plan. There are suggestions, but every district unto themselves. Really interesting stuff, Joe. I appreciate it. Like I said, we could talk for hours about this stuff. We crammed a lot into a few minutes, and I appreciate your time.
No, it's my pleasure. If I could leave your listeners with just one thing, it's, you know, become informed consumers of information. There's a lot of information out there, and know that everybody is anxious. We're all, you know, we say we're all in it together, but everybody shares this feeling of anxiety. So the more you know, the better you can advocate for your own child.
Good advice. Joe, appreciate it very much. Thanks.
Have a great day, Paul.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.